Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majure, and this is our February theme. This is the edition where we go over the newsletter that you'll want to look at on str.fm or strongtowerradio.org, or you can get on the mailing list and receive it every month in your mailbox. Our first guest will be Pastor Mabio, and he's a pastor of the Mount Pleasant and Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome, Pastor Mabio.
Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you on the program. Later in the program, we're going to have a discussion with a young lady. She is a leader in a youth club, and what she's going to tell us, what you may do with a lightly used pair of shoes. Your shoes can help youth in a good way. So we're going to learn about that later in the program. But right now, with Pastor Mabio, would you lead us with a word of prayer?
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you because we have peace in this country where we can still share your word. We ask your blessings now as we're going to be talking about some interesting topics. And may your Holy Spirit guide our conversation and guide our listeners. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, listeners, you might have noticed that Pastor Mabio has a little bit of accent. And so we really like to get to know our guests on the program. It just makes the program more interesting. So, Pastor Mabio, will you tell our listeners about where you were born and how you grew up and what brought you into the ministry?
Oh, that's a complicated question. I'm going to try to give you like the 2-minute summary. Well, I'm originally born in Brazil. I was born in the middle of the Amazon rainforest in a family that was not Christian. I converted when I was 13 to Pathfinders.
And that is a youth club that the Seventh-day Adventist Church of boys and girls ages 10 to 18, roughly. And how did that club impact your life?
Well, it made me, I would say, what I am today. Not only because through its influence, I became a Christian. I wasn't a Christian before. But also because I learned so much, like that enabled my professional life. Like I learned things like public speaking, discipline, leadership, that later on helped me on my career, even prior to ministry. Like prior to ministry, I was working in finance. I'm an engineer by trade. And for many, many years, close to 20 years, I worked in bank and finance. And I achieved leadership posts like a vice president, managing director of like different banks and financial companies. My last paying job on the industry was as one of the directors of the New York Stock Exchange in New York.
Wow.
And was there that I received the call to ministry.
On the stock exchange?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen?
Well, was quite literally a call to ministry. My phone rang, and I received an invitation to go to the New Jersey conference head office to talk with the president. When I arrived there, he asked me to help with a situation to become a pastor for a season in a Portuguese-speaking church in Newark, New Jersey. They lost their pastor, and that was right after September 11. So they could not bring another Brazilian pastor from Brazil or from another Portuguese-speaking country. So somebody suggested my name. I was not a pastor back then. I didn't have a theology degree. I was a network engineer dealing with security, dealing with finance, working on the New York Stock Exchange. And I kind of accepted for a few months. At the end of that period, I wanted to continue. And I stayed helping ministry on that church for about 3 years. When I finally accepted God's call to be full-time in ministry, I resigned from my job on the exchange and went straight to seminary.
Okay. And what did you study in the seminary?
I studied theology, and the emphasis was like on biblical languages and pastoral ministry. That was originally done in Brazil. Then I entered paying ministry, like full-time ministry, in Brazil for a few years. I got called to serve here on U.S. on the World Headquarters of my denomination. And from there, I left to start a PhD program here in Michigan in Andrews University. And while I was there, I worked for a while for the university itself, then for a media ministry of my church called Voice of Prophecy. And then I was invited to pastor here in Michigan Conference, what I'm doing today. Today I pastor two churches, Mount Pleasant and Midland.
How did your experience on the finance and stock exchange network, engineer, and ministry, I think a lot of personnel directors would scratch their head at that combination.
Yeah, but it had its place. I helped my church in a global scale and solve several issues that were related with like a combination of those areas, ministry, pastoral care, IT, security, engineering, so, and was quite of a unique to have somebody that was at the same time a pastor and a very skilled professional in those areas.
Amen, amen. The church needs many talents. Tell us about, you wrote the cover article, The Gift of Tongues. Now, that is a topic that if you went down on the street, whether it be on Wall Street or Michigan Avenue, many cities in Michigan are called Michigan Street, you would get a whole variety of thoughts and opinions on the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of tongues. How did you approach this cover article, which is the February Strong Tower Radio Ministry News? How did you approach this article?
Well, I put my engineering cap.
Ah.
And I tell you why. Like, when you build a building, or when you build a machine, you first lay out the plans, take the parts, and it starts from the ground up. Piece by piece, layer by layer. So that's how I designed that article.
You know, as I read this article, you amazed me. You did use some facts and figures that nearly every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelations have spiritual gifts in it. I would not have guessed that.
And that was my first step, like to establish what in reality are the gifts of the Spirit. Like some people think, oh, it's just prophecy, tongues, half dozen of other things. But the truth is that if we would put a list together, we probably would get out the newsletter just listing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are prevalent throughout Scripture, and there's even in Scripture there's gifts that we don't think they would be a gift of the Spirit. So, for example,
yes,
when God called people to build the sanctuary, he actually said, he named two individuals in the book of Exodus that they would be endowed with spiritual gifts that would enable them to be skilled craftsmen to build the temple. We usually don't think in like anything technical, like anything that require any craftsmanship to be a spiritual gift, but it can be if it's given by God and if it's serves its purpose to edify the whole body of the church. And that's the biblical definition of a spiritual gift. Any gift or capability that God gives to one individual and that enables that individual to help with the mission of the church and to edify the body of Christ.
You know, if going back to the two designers, leaders of the building of the temple, you look at the skills that were, as it's described, in such detail, and I believe one piece was made out of one piece of metal, and the whole, was that the candlesticks, were made out of one piece of metal. That had to take some God-given ability to lead the crafting of the candlesticks that were in the sanctuary.
Yes, it does. That also brings, why I picked that example of the people in the sanctuary, because it also highlights something, that a spiritual gift, if it's not used, it can be removed by God. It's not something that you have naturally. And that's what happened with, if you read the whole book of Exodus, some gifts were given to different individuals. But some of them, they lose it because they don't use in accordance to the purpose of edifying the church.
Refresh our memory on an example you're thinking of.
Well, a good example is the two sons of Aaron, that they were given gifts for the administration on the sanctuary, but they later, because of their misuse, they were given a secondary role on the temple, and even prior after that, because of their continual abuse of what God gave them, they end up dying. Another good example, Samson.
Yes.
His strength was a gift from God, a gift through the Holy Spirit, as I indicate on my article. And because he didn't use accordingly, he stopped to use in the way God intended to edify the church. He lost it. Not because he had a haircut, but because he was using completely against God's will. So he lost it until he was humble enough to ask for forgiveness and ask for God to give that gift for him again.
Amen. Thank you for such a clear example. Now, there are lists in the Bible. You mentioned that there, in your article, there are four partial lists, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. And you also mentioned, as a good engineer would do, as you counted up, that there are 21 gifts in total. Are they all the same? What is the overlap? What, you brought out some very good aspects in your article here.
Mm-hmm. The lists, they kind of overlap. Each one of them have different numbers. Some repeat some of the gifts and omit others. None of the four are alike. And they are a non-exhaustive list, meaning they don't cover all. Those are just examples given by the disciples. I mean, those are just examples given by the apostles to illustrate how God distribute those gifts. And the point in each one of those lists is that God gives different gifts for different people. He spreads them evenly throughout his church. There is no mandatory gift. Like, there's no gift that everybody has to have. And also, they are given for the edifying of the church.
Yes. Yes. Now, talk about the edification of gifts. How do the gifts edify the church?
Every gift in every list has that purpose, to make the church grow, to allow the church to do its job of like reaching new people and training and growing those that are already in touch with the message. You can pick any list, any gift of that list, and I can give you a clear example.
So let's say the gift of teaching.
Well, the gift of teaching, basically, it allows whoever have it to communicate the truths of the kingdom in a way that's not only easy to understand, but also that encourages and inspires others to put what they learn in practice.
You have a PhD, so you have much education. So the gift of teaching sometimes is an aspect of education. So a gift is not about you. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's not about me. It's about others. It's about serving others. It's about edifying the church. And then that's why sometimes I get a little upset with people that come and like ask those quizzes like that are like a test of gifts. And if you read those, they are basically, they ask what you like to do, how you navigate in such and such situation. They try to find your inclination, your natural inclination in life, so they can best use in ministry. That's a good approach. I don't discard that, but that doesn't mean that because I score high in like caring for people or this or that area on those tests that I have that spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, I am a good example of that, because I'm a pastor, but I do that out of my spiritual gifts of speaking, of teaching, caring. And I tell you why I can say that. Because if I take a personality test, I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk with people. I'm very afraid of public speaking, but I do that every day through my gifts.
But that is what God asks you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things you alluded to earlier, that we should not ask or expect anyone to show the same talents. And there is a group of people who believe that everybody, in order to show that they're a good Christian, must speak in tongues. Explain speaking in tongues, or maybe that is for next month's issue.
Yeah, that's for the next month's issue. But I'm going to perhaps deal with the first part of your question. Like, is correct or is not correct to say that in order to be a good Christian, you have to have this spiritual gift or that spiritual gift or that spiritual experience? Biblically speaking, if you read just the lists of spiritual gifts alone, those four lists on the Bible, and if you read the whole list, like what comes before and after, as listed on the issue of this month, you're going to get a very clear image on your head that every gift is given by God, and he gives whoever he wants. And three out of those four passages, they even make a comparison with parts of the body. Like, our body is not our hands, or is not our nose, or is not our ears. Every part of the body is important, and every part of the body has a function to make the whole healthy. Likewise are the gifts of spirit. Each gift is important, and each gift contributes for the body of Christ to grow. That's why God gives to each one of us independently. So we are not to expect that we all have tongues, or we all have prophecy, or we all have this or that. God gives as he wishes independently.
So we're expected to be unique, like the different parts of the body. The hands, the feet are all unique. And so we're expected to be unique, but also to be integrated with one another.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Pastor, I want to thank you. You've just whetted the appetite. What can our listeners expect? And of course, they'll want to read the article on str.fm. That's a quick way to get there, str.fm on our website. But what? Give us just a little taste or a glimpse into what next month's article will cover.
Okay. This month, we started with an introduction about the gifts of spirit in general. Next month, we're going to address the first one of those, that's the gift of tongues. Just because there's a lot of confusion amongst Christianity today, what's the true biblical gift of tongues? So without taking sides, we go through the biblical evidence, listing what the Bible tells us about the gift of tongues, what are the false gift of tongues listed on the Bible, especially in Paul. Paul has a whole chapter on contrasting the true and false gift of tongues, and that we will equip the reader to take their own decisions, like, am I witnessing the true biblical gift of tongues, or that's something else?
Wow, a lot to look forward to, not only to going and reading the full article with the biblical references, which is in the February issue on str.fm, but looking forward to next month's issue. Listeners, you've been listening to Pastor Mavio, and he is the writer of the cover article, The Gift of Tongues, Part 1, in the February Strong Tower Radio Ministry News. We'll be back after this break to talk with a young lady who's using used shoes to build up youth clubs. We'll be back after this break.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and our next guest is Elise Green. Elise, welcome to Strong Tower Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Elise, I've known you half of your life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Elise, you've got something going on right now. Would you tell our listeners about how you're taking used shoes and changing young people's lives?
Yeah, so to begin, this year in August, from August 5 through 11, is the International Pathfinder Camporee. And our club is trying to get there. And I don't know if you know this, Tom, but it's really expensive to get to Gillette, Wyoming from Michigan.
Yes, I know our church is spending thousands of dollars to send our youth. And tell our listeners what a Pathfinder is.
Sure. So a Pathfinder is a young person who is part of a organization of young people sponsored by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They do not have to be Seventh-day Adventist. They can be community-based. They can be of any religious persuasion, and they're welcome to join any club. And Pathfinders get to go camping, they learn survivor skills, grade appropriate leadership training, and activities to promote community pride, involvement through outreach, such as going to the soup kitchens, collecting canned goods, and then interactive activities such as going out to nature, doing honors such as pizza making, which we're hoping to teach soon. But just learning how to be a good Christian and upstanding citizen for our community.
You know, Elise, you weren't on our previous recording, but a previous guest who wrote the Strong Tower Radio lead article for this month came to know Jesus in Brazil through the Pathfinder Club. So he verified what you just got through saying, unbeknownst to you.
Wow, look at God.
Yes, God is great. This is an international organization, and you are trying to raise funds to take young people of all different backgrounds that are part of your club and work with the system out to Wyoming. So tell our listeners what the International Camperee is all about.
Well, Tom, this year it's going to be amazing because it's going to be in Gillette, Wyoming. And they're expecting over 100 countries to come together, over 55,000 youth and young adults come together, and they camp, they worship together, they do activities together, such as honors, sports. And then at the evening, they have this wonderful skit / play and a wonderful message. And kids come together, and many of them end up giving their lives to God during Pathfinder International Camperee.
Wow. And when you say 100 countries, that sounds very international.
It is. It's a taste of heaven on earth.
Amen. So it's a wonderful thing, but it takes a lot of money to get there. And some of your kids, some of them do not have all the means that many of our listeners do. So you've got a very creative way to solve two problems, which is we have shoes all over the house that are lightly used, but we just don't want to throw them away.
Yeah, so we're doing a fundraiser right now. It's a shoe drive where we're asking community members, church members, anybody to bring any used, that are slightly used shoes to our church for our shoe drive. And we're working with an organization called Funds to Orgs, where they take these slightly used shoes and they repurpose them by giving them to third world countries, for, you know, use, or in areas where natural disasters have occurred where people have lost their shoes, just to help them, you know, get back on their feet.
And I asked you a question earlier. You don't want to have my work boots, do you, or my snow boots? I mean, these might be going to warm areas. And your answer was?
Yes, I'll take them. We'll take them. I mean, we may have the purpose for winter, but think about someone who's working in a soft, swampy area who don't have boots. Those boots could be helpful and useful to protect their feet or anything that could bite their feet or hurt their feet. And, you know, feet health is very important for your overall health.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. Boots, I read here that they do it by weight. So my work boots, they have more value than a light woman's dress shoe.
Yes, they do.
All right. Now, how are you going about gathering these shoes, and when do they do it?
Sure. So individuals can drop off shoes any Sabbath when the church is open for services, or on the third Sunday of the month until the end of March. We're there from 11 to 2 for Pathfinders, and they can come by and drop off shoes.
Okay, so what I heard you say is any Saturday during services, but looks like you're there maybe after services from noon to 2 o'clock, or maybe even before, every week, and on the third Sunday. And what was the times on the third Sundays of the month?
Yeah, for the third Sundays, it's 11 to 2. And then for Sabbaths, you can drop them off anywhere between 9:30 to 1.
Okay. And is there a place at the church? If I remember correctly, you have two stairways to your church. Is it in the vestibule or where? If somebody just wanted to slip out from the community and drop it off, where, make it familiar for them?
Yeah, so if you come in at any of the entrances, there are boxes there with designs on them. Some have shoes, some have the flyer. And you can just drop them in there.
And you'll feel a whole lot better for doing it.
Yes, you will.
So I saw on your press release some very interesting statistics. How many shoes are thrown away every single year?
Tom, it is sad. Over 6 million pairs of shoes are thrown away every year.
You know what happens to my lightly used shoes? I put them out in the camper, and my camper is kind of getting kind of full, so it looks like I'm going to make a trip out to the camper and then to Bethel Church. And where is Bethel Church located at?
Yes, Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church is located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Our address is 1024 Adams Street, Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49507.
Okay, so that's the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it's at 1024 Adams Street, Southeast Grand Rapids, Michigan. So, Elise, what if some young people, youth, maybe even senior citizens, go around their neighborhood and collect baskets of used shoes? Would that overwhelm you?
No, not at all. Our club is excited to bag up the shoes and to get them ready for when the company comes to pick them up.
Very good. And so what we're talking about is every Saturday and during services, probably from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then there's Sundays where you can drop it off. The last two will be Sunday, February the 18th, and March the 17th from noon to 2 p.m. Well, Elise, thank you for the opportunity to declutter our closets for a good cause.
Problem. And thank you so much for your support. Tom has been a real big support in Pathfinders all throughout my life. Always been there cheering us on.
I've been to your camp out. So, hey, we would like to have a report here. So we would like to have some pictures sent of the boxes there at Bethel Church. We might get that up on our Facebook page as they're collecting any pertinent stage of that. And then once you get out to Gillette, Wyoming, please send all of us some pictures.
Will do.
Again, that is the shoe drive with the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church on Saturdays till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the two dates that we have left on Sunday are Sunday, February 18th and March 17th from noon to 2 p.m. Thanks again, Elise. God bless you, and we want to hear wonderful reports.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Well, listeners, we're back with another guest. This is Dr. John Kelly. He is an expert in lifestyle medicine. He's been on our program before. Dr. Kelly, welcome to Strong Tower Radio today.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, this time I'm back at the studio. The last time I saw you, we were in Grand Rapids, and we were at an alumni meeting. Now, that wasn't of some college or high school. It was of people who have had their health restored. Tell our listeners what that recording was like.
Yeah, that was an exciting time for me, for sure. What it was is an alumni meeting of graduates from the StartAnew.me Lifestyle Immersion Program. This is a program we've brought to Grand Rapids and surrounding communities last year. We had two different immersions. An immersion is basically an intensive lifestyle change program. And we had very good attendance. I think all but three or four people showed up at our alumni meeting that night, and it was really great to have you there to interview Rita. She was amazing what happened in Rita's life and changes from the program she attended. So the Start New Me is a 16-day program for lifestyle change. It's not a medical program, but it is medically supervised. So there's a screening process, and then there's some explaining the blood tests and so forth is done by doctors. But the program is about making lifestyle changes in diet, exercise, sleep. We also use some very powerful hydrotherapy treatments. Most people aren't acquainted with these, but it's using hot and cold water to treat the body and some other things. And it runs on the weekends and then on the weekday evening, so that a person can do this without leaving their job if they have a normal, you know, weekday job. And it's the cost, it's all volunteers, so the cost is minimal. I'm not going to mention a cost, actually, because it's available on the website, and if there's any changes, I don't want to give misinformation, but it's basically covers the blood tests and some of the costs for the meals.
Well, Dr. John, this was such an amazing program, and what you found out from these immersion programs, usually programs like this can be done, often are done in-house residential, which that residential portion adds to the cost phenomenally. This makes it affordable in reach, and you don't even have to take vacation pay or time off without pay in order to do this program. You can work it around a daytime schedule.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, you mentioned the residential programs, and I have, of course, worked in a number of lifestyle centers where we had a residential program. And so I recently did a comparison of the results, the blood work, and found out that we are having very comparable changes in this program that's right here in town, like you say, and people don't have to have the expense and time off work, et cetera, to go. Although I have to say, those programs can be quite lovely. It's almost like a spa-oriented vacation, as long as you have the money to do it.
It's the right thing for the right person at the right time. But Dr. John, you're a very humble man, but you have some very significant accomplishments. We just want to take a moment here. You are the head of an organization that has been moving forward lifestyle medicine. Tell our listeners briefly about that program.
Yes, right. I had the privilege, Tom, of being the founding president for the American College of Lifestyle Medicine.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I did win an AMA award as a young physician for that work about 20 years ago. So, but let me just explain. So, the College of Lifestyle Medicine is not an educational institution. That's like the American College of Surgeons or the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. It's a medical society. And what it does is it brings lifestyle change as treatment for chronic disease in a scientific evidence-based way. And it's right now it's one of the fastest growing specialties in the world. We're seeing it growing overseas. I've done actually presentations by Zoom at I think almost every continent on the planet. So yes, it's been a real privilege and a joy doing that. But what's actually more exciting to me, honestly, is now we're bringing it right down to Grand Rapids, right down to the city and to people's lives, where they can do this without having to go to a medical center or a doctor or a hospital. This can be done with help right in your daily routine.
Dr. Kelly, tell our listeners where they can attend this session in the Grand Rapids area.
Yes, Tom. The next one is actually in March, March 9 through 24. And this starts on a Saturday afternoon with lunch, ends on a Sunday afternoon with a banquet, a graduation celebration on the 24th.
And Dr. Kelly, two of my brother-in-laws have attended, had phenomenal results. And we did an interview on this particular program. One of my brother-in-laws was there that night. And you can hear that interview on Strong Tower Radio Network Eastern Time on Monday at 4 p.m., Wednesday at 9 p.m., and Thursday at 1 p.m. So, Dr. Kelly, listeners can go on that website, startanew.me, and get the application and sign up for this program.
Yes.
And the reason we're doing this 1 month in advance is because there is some procedures you need to go, and you wouldn't have time if we waited till the March edition.
Yes, thank you for doing this ahead of time. But they will be needing to get some blood tests done the week before the 9th. So they'll be getting a blood test done one morning the week before.
So listeners, what you want to do, this is a wonderful program. It's at an affordable cost at a schedule that you can do if you have a daytime job. Can fit this in. The website is startanew.me. And Dr. Kelly, will you be there?
Oh, I will definitely be at the immersion. It's going to be at the Maranatha Church Banner in Grand Rapids. And this is a Hispanic church. The program will be presented in English, but I think the vast majority of the people there certainly can understand English just fine.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to many more testimonies at the next alumni meeting. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Bye now.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087 on Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Well, we're back with another Grand Rapids feature that seems to be the theme of this month's Strong Tower Radio feature, Extra Features. We have Pastor Daryl LaRue. He is the pastor of the Grand Rapids Central Church and also of the Lowell Fellowship Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you are holding an event. What is that event?
Thanks, Tom, that I can join the Strong Tower Radio. It's always great to be here. And we are really excited that March is going to have a whole month of a prophetic exploration and journey in discovering Revelation. And it's really focused on discovering Jesus in this.
How is this revelation different than the run-of-the-mill, what you're hearing in many, many places? It's pretty fantastic.
Well, if I take you back for a little bit, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is really the go-to place for prophecy and the connection and the harmony between Old Testament and New Testament, if those that are wanting that. And so the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation are inseparable in an understanding of Jesus Christ. Seventh-day Adventists, being Christians, have focused on the person of Jesus Christ because they love to anticipate and experience his presence now and his presence that is coming, as the Bible talks about the second coming.
That is a wonderful truth. I want to hear you saying it's kind of like between Daniel and Revelation, there's a reconciliation of understanding of those two books, how they actually fit, complement, and explain each other.
Absolutely. Some Christians have a challenge, kind of say the Old Testament is no longer relevant. And yet, when they read the Psalms, it is directly relevant to their lives. So there are some Christians that have a disconnect with the Old and the New Testament. It's kind of like we only select certain passages. We can't explain the others in harmony. And Seventh-day Adventists say, no, there's no disconnect. And in the expression of the book of Revelation, it actually embraces all of the other scriptures from Genesis all the way to its very own book, Revelation.
Do you find it comforting to know that all the scripture is relevant, and not only is it all of it relevant, that it is complementary and fits together?
Absolutely. As a Seventh-day Adventist church, it's a wonderful thing to see that they embrace and explore and study. It's actually individual studying and presenting, like in our learned pastors or professors alone. It's actually members taking an intense interest in studying and journeying into the whole of the Old Testament and the whole of the New Testament to find every little gem that is precious related to Jesus Christ.
Tell our listeners what they'll experience when they go to Discovering Revelation at the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So Jim Slater is one of the members that has an incredible insight and knowledge of conveying exciting experiences of discovering revelation. And it doesn't matter who's actually presenting it. It's a philosophy behind the Seventh-day Adventist Church that brings out the second coming of Jesus and the experience of anticipating his return and wanting to be ready for it. So you will find a huge correlation between the very first verses that say the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show servants the things which must shortly take place. There's an emphasis on present day experiences and events that are leading up in saying, hey, wake up and see that God is doing great things and wants to prepare a people for his coming. So it's focused on Revelation as a book, but Revelation is focused on Jesus Christ as a person.
So, Pastor, what time, what place, what date?
So it's going to be at 7 o'clock starting at the Friday night on March 1, and it's going to start at the church at 4250 Remembrance Road in Walker. Maybe one more thing. We've already done this throughout Michigan, and there may be others that have heard about this and missed it last year. We are doing it again right here in Grand Rapids at the Central Church, and anyone is welcome to come and explore. Whether you agree or disagree, come and see if you can put the harmony of Scripture together from Old Testament, Genesis, all the way to that very book, Revelation. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. And I might suggest that if anybody went to the fall session of Discover Revelation, they may want to have a refresher at the Central Church. Discover Revelation, March 1st, 7 p.m. That's a Friday. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you.
Many people make New Year's resolutions about things to improve their physical health. Eat more vegetables, start exercising, stop smoking, etc. If followed through, such changes have the power to literally add years to your life. But have you ever considered making spiritual resolutions too? Good spiritual habits like regular time in prayer, faithful church attendance, and daily Bible study can not only add quality to your life right now, but most importantly can establish a faith in Christ that will extend your life into eternity. If you want to turn over a new spiritual leaf in the coming year, why not commit to studying the Bible? Visit BibleStudyOffer.com and sign up for your free lessons today. You can receive lessons and study on your own, or a local representative will be happy to study with you, all completely free of charge. Visit www.BibleStudyOffer.com today.
Next, we have from Lansing, Michigan, we have Jennifer Calvillage. And Jennifer, you have a whole basket of things going on at the Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church that is for the community as a whole. Will you tell us about what happens weekly and that will be happening specially during the month of February and early March?
Absolutely. You did pretty good on my last name. It's Cavillage. It took me a while to learn how to say it also when we first got married. Anyway, so cooking classes. So we have several of them that we do every month. So we do a weekly one, and that one is every Wednesday from 5:15 to 6:15. And it's more like a fellowship meal type cooking class where participants are encouraged to bring a dish to share that's plant-based. And then we show how to do one recipe every single week. And then we clean up and then we're done. And it's super simple.
And Jennifer, I really like what you're saying. How long has this been going on?
Oh, it's been going on for a couple of years now. And it's great because sometimes we'll have lots of people, sometimes we'll have a little people. You know, we have lots of people that are coming through that we get to meet, and it's been really, really nice.
It's kind of organic and natural.
Absolutely.
And what you told me is it's just a group of people that had to have food together, and they're plant-based groupies. And so you just invited people, and it's just a very comfortable, easy. You don't have to prepare the whole meal because one person prepares one portion, another does the other. You're tired of your own plant-based cooking? Come to Jennifer's group.
Absolutely. We'd love to have people. And, you know, some people, they come straight from work. They don't have time to prepare something. So, I mean, people can bring like a canister of nuts or bring a bunch of bananas or some oranges, or they can do my favorite, which is jalapeno stuffed olives, which I always encourage people to bring those. So they can always bring something super easy too and learn how to do plant-based. Not everybody knows, so they may not know what to bring.
Now you have your own Facebook page and you also have your own email address. So if people would like to find out more information, you know, if you go to a group, you've never met them before, it's kind of like nice to know who they are.
Absolutely. So we have our Facebook page. It's called Lansing Plant-Based Cooking. And you can find that on Facebook. And we also just started a YouTube channel. So there's only a couple videos on there now, but we do live video stream every single one of our Wednesday night classes. So people can refer back to them. They can share them with their friends on social media. And all the recipes are posted on there too, so that people can have them for later use.
So that's where you can practice and share. But you do things way beyond that. And you have just a raft of good things happening. What else is happening at the Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church in your fellowship hall?
All right. So we also do a monthly class, which is the first Sunday of each month. And the meeting times vary depending on whether it's a class where we're doing a lot of cooking or whether it's just something where we're honing in on something special. For instance, we have a class coming up that's in the beginning of February, and it's talking about mental health and, you know, ancient secrets revisited. And we just had a session where Phil Mills was presenting, and the session went really, really well, and that was fourth. And this coming weekend, the 11th, we have Don McIntosh coming. He's from Wemeyer in California, and he knows a lot about health and lifestyle. And he's going to be talking about, you know, what's love got to do with mental health? And so that's going to be a really great thing, and that's open to the community. And we usually do, like, a big monthly thing. We have another class that we're going to be doing in March, which is also our monthly class. And we're going to be talking about sourdough bread, how to make it, you know, why to make it. You know, a lot of people, you know, they just want to get back to the basics. And so it'll teach them people how to make sourdough bread. And it's a lot different than the stuff you find in the stores, because sometimes the stuff you find in the stores is the way they, I guess, sour the dough is way different and maybe not be as healthy as if you were doing it at home. But we have that one coming up. And then we also have another class coming up in March 10th, about gardening. And so all of these classes are going to be on our Facebook page, and, you know, people get to know about them ahead of time. And if they have questions, we can let them know about those. We have a gentleman coming in from MSU to do the gardening class, and he's going to be talking about a wide variety of stuff, you know, soil fertility, prepping your garden site, you know, picking out successful varieties of plants, how to start your seeds, how to raise transplants. And it's going to be so much fun. And it's free to the community. And we get to meet so many different people. It's been such a blessing.
Absolutely. You know, let's go back and talk to you a little bit about each one of these programs. That Ancient Mental Health Revisited, Don McIntosh, is always fun. And it's always a little bit of tongue-in-cheek because it's coming up on Valentine's Day. So what does it have to do with love? I didn't even ask him. I just know enough about him. He's done programs on Strong Tower Radio. Just going to that sourdough program that's on March the 3rd, I read the description, and man, I wish I still lived in Lansing.
It's not that far of a drive.
I know it might.
Down.
Well, yeah, you know, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes from Cadillac, but it might be worth it because I've never done sourdough bread, and it's more healthy. And what I read is you're doing it with very few ingredients.
Yes. Three ingredients, basically flour, water, and salt. And those are the ingredients.
Doesn't get much simpler than that.
Right. And you can always watch us live stream it. You can watch us on the live stream if you don't want to drive all the way down here. We'll live stream the event, and you can watch it straight from our Facebook page.
Well, you've got at least one viewer, and that'll be me.
There you go.
Hey, listen, it's really neat because it talked about the nutrition and the benefits. And for some people, digestive actually easier to digest than yeast.
So, absolutely. And it breaks down some of the proteins and some of the gluten in that's contained in a lot of the flours. And some people that have issues with wheat, I don't want to say that it turns it, all of a sudden it turns it gluten-free, because it does not, because I can't do it. But for some people that do have a little bit of maybe a tiny bit of a little bit of an allergy, you know, it does help with their digestion. And it sometimes it can even help to lower chronic disease risk.
And that's on March the 3rd, and you can find out more on Strong Tower Radio's community calendar. It's listed there, but also on the Lansing Facebook page, and probably also on your website.
Yes.
And then the last one is gardening. Well, that one is near to my heart. As the host of the Garden Guys show, I highly recommend this program. I read the description. If you've never gardened before, or if you're gardening has been less than what you had hoped for, I think this would be a wonderful class to attend. And the price is right, isn't it, Jennifer?
Absolutely. It's free. And you might even win a gift. And this guy, I tell you what, we had him last year, and he was one of several speakers. And by the time that we were done and he was done with his talk, I was like, we just need him next year.
So you're doing
he
it.
He did such a great job. So, and he's going to be our person. His name's Chris Robbins. He's from down south, and he's got a nice twang to his voice. And great guy. And he's so knowledgeable about so many things, and he's energetic and engaging. And it's going to be an awesome class. Of course, there's going to be so much stuff covered that you're going to probably have to rewatch the video a few times. But it's going to be a great class.
Well, you just answered my question. I'm going to be watching that program not only on
absolutely.
on the 3rd, but also on the 10th. Well, Jennifer, it's great. Welcome to your first interview on Strong Tower Radio.
Well, thank you.
You survived.
I survived.
Well, God bless. And listeners, you'll want to take in the weekly program on Wednesday. What time is that?
5:15 to 6:15. So the best part about that is if you come, you're going to get a meal, you're going to watch a recipe, you're going to get a recipe to take home, and then after that, you can come to prayer meeting with us if you want to. You might get some little bit of spiritual food in there too.
Wow, what more would a person need? So, Jennifer, where is the Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church located?
Okay, so Lansing Adventist Church is located at 5400 St. Joseph Avenue in Lansing, and the zip is 48917. And if you're going on the highway, you'll find it. If you type it in on Google, you'll find it.
And it's right next to the high school.
It is right next to the Waverly High School. Yes, yes.
Very good. Well, thanks again.
Absolutely.
Bye now. Well, listeners, this has been quite a program. We started out with Pastor Mabio, and he talked about his lead article for the Strong Tower Radio Ministry News on spiritual gifts. That was followed by the shoe drive, the Grand Rapids Bethel Church shoe drive for sending kids to the International Camporee. Then we talked to Dr. John Kelly about the Grand Rapids Health Initiative, followed by Pastor Daryl LaRue, whose series that is going to be on Daniel and Revelation. And then we finished with the Lansing Health Classes with Jennifer Calvillage. It's been a great program today. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, for Strong Tower Radio. Bye now.